You're listening to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. This week, we now have our Panthers preview, where we welcome in Desmond from the Believe Panthers Podcast Network. Desmond, it's been an interesting season for you so far. We talked to you back in week two, and you were excited. We were excited. Fans hadn't completely turned on Derek Carr yet on our side. For your side, your owner hadn't fired your coach yet. There's a lot of optimism for Bryce Young, and then you realized, hey, this guy doesn't have any weapons, and it's, you know, reality kind of set in. But it's been an interesting season for both teams so far. But we'll get into the season so far. We'll get into the game. So we've got Desmond. We also have James and Wesley. How's everybody doing?
All good.
Good. Well, considering. Considering everything. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, this might be the last, I guess, the last 2 weeks of the season where I'm actually optimistic that we should win.
NFC South.
I think that's fair.
I mean, we play the Panthers and the Giants back to back, and then after that, I don't know if I believe in anything anymore.
I understand. I completely understand. God, week two seems like 2 years ago at this point for Panther fans. Like, that seems so long ago.
Well, Desmond, I know at that time, I think we were all excited about what our teams were going to be, and neither one of us thought we would be in the position we are in now. I know that you had a lot of optimism about Bryce Young and success he had had and what you had seen. And actually even went as far as saying you thought that he could be a revolutionary quarterback and, you know, change the way the game is played and the kind of people that we draft moving forward. What's been the problem? Like, you know, ask first of all, like, I know there's gonna be lots of excuses with that he can have, or people can have for him with coaching and bad teammates and all that kind of stuff. But has Bryce Young not lived up to his billing on his own too?
That's a tough question. A little combination of both. And I'm kind of on that. The past 2 weeks, I've kind of slipped out of that area of blindly defending Bryce Young because of the stuff around him, which is easy to slip into, and to more just being analytical about everything on this team. Completely, because when you fire Frank Wright, you fire the quarterback's coach, you fire the running back's coach all in the same day after week 11, and they were very instrumental in picking Bryce Young or bringing him in. You kind of got to look at it like, okay, general manager Scott Fitter, who we didn't even know why he was still here, why he didn't get fired the same day too. But of course, you got to do roster transactions and things of that sort. You're still in the middle of the season. So I kind of get why he's still here. I don't think he'll be here at the end of the year, although there's some reports out now that he may end up staying. He's been here 3 years. He has not drafted a Pro Bowler in 3 years of drafts here, which is an indication of just like what's going on. They've traded off so much draft capital to chasing picks. They traded off a second and I think a fourth for Sam Darnold. You know what I mean? Like, they traded off Christian McCaffrey pretty much for a bag of peanuts. There was no first round pick in that was
rough at the time. That looks like one of the worst trades of all time.
Probably ever. In Panthers history, it's
got to be. You're now sitting there saying, like, I get it with y'all. We're like, okay, he's just going to be injured every year and, like, he's never going to be productive again. He's kind of been tough.
He's an MVP candidate across the country. And, like, I was one of the ones that was like, well, y'all got to look at it from glass half full. He hasn't really played in 2 years. That's two extra years of tread on those tires. Like, he's not going to be injury prone every single year. But I think our owner, David Tepper, I think he does a lot of these transactions spur of the moment off of Twitter. Like, it feels like he's looking at Twitter and the Panthers Twitter, because that was what Panthers Twitter was on at that point. Oh, trade McCaffrey. He's overpaid. He's never on the field. It'd been like 2 years running of it. And then just randomly, a week after you fire Matt Rhule, you trade the face of the franchise off. Like, you intentionally kept him when you let all of these dudes go that were face of the franchise. Luke Kuechly retires. Greg Olsen, you cut. Cam Newton, you cut. You sent off all these players except for McCaffrey. You kept him and paid him this overpriced salary, according to people, because he was going to be the new face of the franchise. That lasted 2 years. Then you ship him off in the middle of the year after you fire Matt Rhule. And now you're looking back on it like, well, what did we get for it? Two of those draft picks are playing in Pittsburgh right now, if I'm not mistaken. And one of those went to Chicago in the trade that we did, where we added DJ Moore, and two firsts to move up eight spots to draft Bryce Young. Now, Wesley, you're talking about how, you know, I was saying he has the opportunity to be a generational talent. I do still think that possibility is there. But Dan Orlovsky said this best. We're not going to be able to properly grade this kid till 2025, probably, because next year is going to be another install of a new offense from whoever's coming in. They've got so much they got to do roster wise. I'm surprised they're still playing him, to be honest. I would have probably
turned him to
Dalton at this point.
Yeah. I think he needs to sit and watch and learn.
I mean, you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, which was a joke that we were 1-10 and still had an outside shot.
Still had a chance.
don't tell us we have a chance. Good old NFC style. I mean, I feel like he has the opportunity, and he's shown some glimpses. But again, I'm at that point where I'm like, okay, we traded up all this stuff to draft the number one player in the draft. I'm trying to think of, have I seen enough flashes during the year where Bryce has done something and I'm like, that's why we got him number one. Like what he just did right there.
You've seen a whole lot of those plays from CJ Stroud.
Exactly. And we have not seen a lot of those from Bryce Young. So that's where I'm kind of like, if we're going to question the front office and talking about firing Scott Fitterer, and you already fired the head coach who made a lot of these decisions and you did all these things, and we're looking at the draft picks they've had, you can't say all of that and then excuse Bryce Young and be like, well, let's wait and see what happens. Like, so it's got to be kind of attached, right?
Yeah. I do want to ask you how many Texans games you've watched this year. But before that, I want to ask, I don't understand firing Frank Reich after 10, 11 games. That makes no sense to me. But is the sort of rumor true that you've heard that Frank Reich wanted to draft CJ Stroud and other people in the building told him, we are drafting Bryce Young?
That's the rumor that's here, and that's been floating around. We have nothing concrete to suggest that other than Chris Lee and Dennis Cox do Panthers Playbook, which is another Panthers podcast that's out there you can watch on YouTube. And they talked to, I think it was Boomer Esiason, who knows Frank Reich pretty well. And Boomer was basically saying, well, he likes big quarterbacks. He likes big. Look at the quarterbacks he's had, like, throughout his career. They've all been the same kind of size and build and everything. I don't know if Frank Reich came into Carolina with Bryce Young top of mind. He may have got talked into him.
Yeah.
But if you, there's some stuff, there's Panthers Confidential, their preseason series they put out on YouTube, where Frank is in the locker room and he's explaining there's five different points you look for when you're looking for a quarterback that you're going to take number one. And the final thing that he had said, I mean, it was like accuracy and
like two of them are not Bryce Young.
Right.
Yeah.
But the last one he said was like it factor. Does he have the it factor? Do people want to follow him? Like, is he a leader in the locker room? Do people galvanize around him? And I have seen that from Bryce. You don't see it a whole lot in public, like at the podium. He's not that kind of guy, but we've heard reports he's cursed out players and shown some fire. And we saw that out.
Does he have to like find a chair or stool to stand on to look him in the eye?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
And honestly, the size thing hasn't really become an issue this year. If anything, this year has proven that he can take the hits.
He's been hit hard a couple times.
And bounces like, right back up. So, I mean,
with that, how many Texans games have you watched and watched CJ Stroud and been like, you got to be kidding me, man?
The only one I've watched in full is the Panther game. And somehow the Panthers held them to 13 points that day.
Right.
Shout out to the defense. I've seen highlights. I've seen some of the stuff they're doing. I don't think it's a fair comparison because they're in two different situations. Like,
yeah, for sure.
People forget how much of a haul Houston got from Cleveland for trading off Deshaun Watson. Like, the reason why CJ Stroud's having such success because he's got Tank Dell. He's got
not anymore.
Well, yeah, he's hurt now, but he had him. He had who's the other wide receiver? Noah.
Nico Collins.
They drafted us Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. Like, for a rookie quarterback to have Laremy Tunsil as your left tackle, like, Bryce doesn't have that. Bryce doesn't have any of that stuff. And he doesn't have a defensive minded head coach. I feel like that's what the problem was. David Tepper wants to switch this around, be all analytical and bring an offensive minded head coach because that's the fad or whatever around here. But he came from the Steelers, and like, he claims he wants to build the Panthers like the Steelers. Go get you a defensive-minded head coach and go find some kid that's some offensive genius to run your offense for 3 years before somebody snatches them up and makes him a head coach.
We'll give you our defensive coach. You can have him.
Yeah, you can have our defense.
We got a couple of them. We got a whole training, whole staff you can have.
I like the one on staff. I like Ejiro Ebiro. Like, but I don't think he's going to get the job.
There's a lot of names out there. I've even seen multiple things that they're going to run after Bill Belichick. There's a lot of names, all the big names. And I understand that David Tepper has more money than just about anybody in sports, except for the Broncos, I think.
money,
the Walmart money. But besides the fact that he can just pay you, like, to an outsider, it looks like a bad situation. Like, that you're one, he, you knew this was a multi-year fix for somebody like Frank Reich, and he got half a season. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to say, like, I'm getting 4 years guaranteed before I walk in the door here, because this is not, and we're starting to, the Saints, we're starting to believe, like, this isn't a 1 or 2 year fix. This isn't a 1 year fix anymore for us. We think we've got a long build. Y'all's situation, to me, the draft capital you said y'all have wasted, the general manager that nobody really believes in, and can he even draft anybody? And then how you've kind of given away all your best players for nothing. And then you've got an owner that maybe is a meddling owner who's going to screw it up anyway. Like, it looks like a bad job to go get hired to want.
I don't mind David Tepper taking an interest in a property he owns. You know, like, that's like saying, you know, if he owns an apartment complex, why is he walking around the apartment complex? Like, why is he looking in the storage closet? Like, you know what I mean? It's his. It's his building. He can do whatever he wants to with it. I don't mind that at all. I do mind, there have been reports where, like, in Ron Rivera's last year here, David Tepper wanted him to switch midseason from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense because he because he thought it'd be cooler. You know, like, that's what the Steelers ran. So that's what he
don't realize that we have to, like, get rid of six players.
Bring in some player. Like, I think Rivera probably tried to explain this to him, but Rivera did what the owner asked him to do, and Rivera was out of a job like 3 weeks later because they couldn't run it. They didn't have the proper personnel. Kind of same thing here. You hire Frank Wright. Frank Wright wants to come in and run like a spread type offense. When everyone in America that watched the Panthers last year knows that was not a spread offense that was on the field. That was a power downhill. We are going to run the ball 40 times. You know we're going to run the ball 40 times. Come and stop it. Like, that was the offense. The defense was going to hold you to 17 points. They might win, they might not, but they were going to be in games. They had an identity. Frank Wright decided, I don't want to be a smash mouth football team. And he told us, like, verbally to our face, we are not a smash mouth football team. How does the football team respond to that? You know? When the head coach is telling the public, that's not the kind of team we want to be. Well, what the hell do you want to be, Frank? Because we don't know. Like, to this day, we have no idea what the identity of the Carolina Panthers is. Like, we don't know. Are you a run first team? Are you a defense team? Are you trying to be an air it out passing team? They don't feel like any of those things. So,
I think you have to win at least 3 games before you can, declare your identity. David Tepper, I agree.
They'll rattle off three at the end. That's going to be what happens. They're going to win the last three for no reason.
I agree with you on the thing with Tepper to a point of, listen, if you're the owner and, like, if my toy is a motorcycle and his toy that he can afford is a football team, you understand that if you run into the ground that all the fans leave and, like, you don't make money from that, but, like, that's your toy. And, I know Cowboys fans have loved and hated it for years with somebody like Jerry Jones, that, like, he's not a football mind, but he also won't give it up. And then with a guy like Mark Cuban, the Mavericks fans have enjoyed it because, I mean, he pisses people off and all like that. The David Tepper thing, obviously he's a smart guy and he's earned his money. The one thing that I think that he would terrify me if he was had my team is David Tepper can be super petty. And, like, he's got a really famous thing where he worked his way up through a company, did not get get promoted to partner, left that company, started his own proper company, made $20 million, $20 billion. The old boss that didn't promote him, he bought his $20 million house and tore it down.
Yep. Just to build another one on the space.
And and he's still that way. Like, you can tell with some, like, coaching things and some firings and all. Like,
oh, I'm here for the petty. That's great.
Just got to be scared that at any point he can also go a little too far.
I'm team Richard Petty, like Petty Crocker. Like, I'm all for the pettiness. Like, that, I live for the pettiness. I wanted an owner that was kind of petty, you know. But like, you know, this was a Carolina Panthers dream to have, like, the richest owner in the league. He's kind of cocky. He's looking to do big things. They were building this huge practice headquarters facility in Rock Hill, like right over the stadium. They're going to build a stadium there in the next 5 or 6 years because there was enough room for it, and he owned it all. And then what does he do? The county decides to pull a okie doke, and they're like, you didn't actually pay this on time or whatever. And he's like, yes, I did. And they're like, no, you didn't. And he's like, all right, fine. I'm just not going to finish building it. So it was like $50 million
again. Petty.
He just stopped. Stopped building it because they could have figured it out. But David Tepper is the type where he seems like the type, if you get on his bad side, you're going to stay on his bad side. Like, you're not coming out of it. And I think Frank Reich got on his bad side because he's
I was wondering if Frank Reich told him, I told you this wasn't the guy to draft. And he's like, you're fired.
Yeah, that's kind of in the rumor because the other ones that left, Josh McCown, Deuce Staley, they were considered to be in the camp of Bryce Young, whereas the ones that are still here, the rumor is that they wanted C.J. Stroud. And Tepper did say something in that press conference, that weird press conference he had last week after they fired Frank Reich, where he probably shouldn't have said anything at all, but he came out and tried to explain the process of what happened with C.J. Stroud, whatever. And in a nutshell, he basically said they were going to trade up to two with Houston, and they were going to take C.J. Stroud. Like, they were already in that. But it was a three-team deal with the Bears. The Bears were dragging their feet. David Tepper was like, and his other world trades happened by hitting a button. You don't have to sit there and wait. So he was getting impatient. So they decided to bypass Houston and start talking to the Bears directly. And that's why DJ Moore's not here, because they got so impatient.
And that was, I heard that was basically the Bears like, oh, you want the deal right now?
Mm-hmm.
Include DJ Moore and what we've already talked about.
That's what it was. Either throw in Brian Burns or DJ Moore and you got it. Yep. And they were like, let's throw in the only thing that our quarterback would have to throw to.
I heard that was like, it was actually like, and the Bears were probably still going to take the deal without DJ Moore, but they're like, oh, you want it done today? Today the price is DJ Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian Burns.
If they had just waited, it'd have been fine. And now look at it. Like, DJ Moore's had another 1,000-yard season. Brian Burns still hasn't been extended for some reason, even though the Rams have come around sniffing twice, offering two first-round picks.
It makes no sense because he's not going to resign there.
Probably not,
right?
Especially now. You just fired the head coach. Like, this is the second. Brian Burns has been here since 2017.
Was it 17? Yeah.
So he has gone through Ron Rivera,
a bunch of quarterbacks.
Ron Rivera as a head coach, then Perry Fuel was the interim, Matt Rule, then Steve Wilks was the interim, Frank Reich, and now what's his name? Steve Tabor or Chris Tabor's the interim. So he's had six coaches in 5 years and has never had a winning season in Carolina. And now they don't want to pay him his money. Like, it's, they can tag him.
I think it's going to come back in the next 2 years that y'all are going to make. Y'all made a huge mistake letting Matt Rule fire Joe Brady as his to buy him the rest of the season.
Because
I think Joe Brady's going to end up coming back around to being a name again. Like, now that he's the offensive coordinator for the Bills, I think he's going to come back around, and in 2 years you're going to be like, oh wait, we fired that guy just so Matt Rule could save himself.
Yeah.
And that was part of Panthers Twitter too. That stretch, people were calling for Joe Brady's head on Panthers Twitter, and then a week or two later, Joe Brady's gone. Like, it, same thing. Like, people, Panther fans were like, DJ Moore's not a real number one wide receiver for the longest. I don't understand it. And then he gets thrown in the trade, probably because Tepper thinks the same thing. And Tepper said something draft night when they drafted Bryce Young that stuck in my head ever since he said it. And now I'm starting to look at it like, oh man, he really meant this. He wasn't even at the podium. It was Scott Fitter and Frank Reich talking at the podium. And David Tepper comes out from like behind a curtain or something over on the side and just starts talking like without a mic, like over on the side of the stage. So everybody shifts over to him and he starts explaining what happened and how they moved up to number one and all these other things. And he said something about Bryce Young where he was like, we settled on Bryce because we felt like Bryce was going to be like a point guard. And by him being a point guard and able to efficiently distribute the ball, we could spend less money on skill position players because we have Bryce Young. He said this in the press conference. So, and everyone kind of glossed over it, but now I'm going back and looking at it and I'm like, that's exactly what they did. They brought in DJ Chark. They brought in Adam Thielen. They brought in, except for Miles Sanders, who they overpaid for. They brought in all this underpaid talent or however you want to look at it. These players at wide receiver thinking that Bryce could elevate them. And he can't. He's a rookie. And it's all on tape. Like, that's the thing that's sickening, the Panther player. It's all on tape. Like, Tepper's only spoke to us six times in 6 years. But if you listen to when he talks, he gives you a whole bunch of nuggets that he probably shouldn't even be talking about. And that thing sticks out even more so today, looking at the roster, how depleted it is.
Well, moving into this week, is there a way that the Panthers can beat the New Orleans Saints?
No, probably not. I mean, it's going to be every week on Believe in Panthers. I end it like the game is going to go exactly the way it did last week. It's going to be a rock fight the whole game. The Panthers defense is going to keep them in it. you won't go up by more than a possession at any time of the game, really. It'll probably be like 10-7 or 13-7 or whatever going into the fourth quarter. Once you get past 17 points, you being New Orleans, you have won the game. We cannot score more than 18 points in a game, pretty much. Like, once you guys surpass that mark, like you get the 20 or whatever it's going to be, you're probably good to go. And then at the end of the game, we're going to look at the box score, and it's going to be like, oh, okay, this looked kind of close, but it's not going to feel close. Like, I don't care who the Saints roll out at quarterback. Well, at least you guys have an idea of what you want to do. This franchise is in such a flux right now that we get excited when they complete a pass. Like, that's where we are. Like, oh, they did it. He didn't get sacked in 2 seconds. They actually gained 7 yards. Like, we're there. So I can't sit here and think they're going to beat anybody. Like, I don't think they're going to win the rest of the year, to be honest, from what I've seen.
Well, our crowd is going to be excited that Derek Carr is probably not going to be playing quarterback this
week. So is it Jameis Winston?
I think it's going to be Jameis.
There'll be a big dose of Taysom Hill.
Massive dose of Taysom Hill.
I can't stand that dude. Yeah. Because you don't know what he's going to do. Like, yeah. Oh, man. So I will say this. The Panther defense is probably the healthiest it's been all year. Jason finally came back. He's been gone since first quarter of week one. He played last Sunday. Frankie Louvu was banged up. He'll be out there. Brian Burns was banged up. He got suspended or ejected from the game Sunday for throwing a punch, but he should be out there Sunday, I would imagine.
Yeah, that doesn't usually lead to
a
suspension, does it?
Yeah, like the next game type thing. So the defense is actually pretty healthy. So that's why I say it's probably gonna be a rock fight, because the Panthers defense is seventh overall in the league in yards allowed. I don't know how that's possible, but they have a pretty good defense in terms of keeping teams out of the end zone. If you take out the at Miami and at Detroit games that we had, two teams that could end up in the Super Bowl, everybody else, it's been pretty much one possession type games and just kind of tight ones where Panther fans look at it and they're like, oh, we could have won that. That's a winnable game. But if you watch the game, you're like, no, we never at any point in that game did we have control over that, over that game. So I would expect the same thing. I would think the Saints are going to run the ball and pester Bryce Young with their defense all day. Bryce is going to give you an interception or a fumble or something off of a strip sack somewhere in the game. Like, you can mark it down. Like, it's going to happen. It's not even his fault, but it's going to happen. So I don't think you guys have a whole lot to worry about.
I was going to ask that question. Is there anything that you think the Saints should be worried about when it comes to the Panthers this weekend?
Not on offense.
Neither running back is averaging 4 yards a carry. Like,
Chuba just had his first 100. Well, this is the first 100-yard game we've had as a for any rusher all year. Was last Sunday with Chuba, and he got 104. And that's because they decided to run the ball finally. So you might
Thielen, I've seen Thielen have like a couple of games or quarters where he looks young again, but then I've seen him disappear in some games too. Like, has he dealt with some injuries to where he hasn't been consistent, or is that just his age where he just, and the quarterback play where it's just not getting
him? No, actually it's none of that. I think teams just realized that the only thing that Bryce
he's had the one Adam he's Thielen. The one guy,
yeah, so they started doubling Adam Thielen and it kind of took him out of the game. Like, that's literally that's literally all that's happened. Now they've started scheming a little bit more, and he was involved a little bit more this past Sunday, but when you watch this Panther team, you're going to watch the offense. You're going to be like, there's no pre-snap movement. When they get in their formation, they are in their formation. They are not moving. Like, they're not really going to do a whole lot. Bryce is going to be in shotgun pistol 80% of the time. Although I will say, this past Sunday, they did have him under center finally more than he's been this entire season, which led to a lot of play action that worked, which is what we've been screaming for. So you might see some of that. Hayden Hurst has been in a concussion protocol, the tight end, for been going on 2 weeks. I think he's still in it, so I don't think we'll have him.
That's a bad concussion.
Yeah, going on a couple of weeks now. So yeah, so we'll see. He had kind of disappeared from the offense anyway before that. So that was a free agent acquisition they brought in. Defense, they don't cause turnovers. The Panthers defense does not cause turnovers. That's one of the things that they do not do. They'll limit you. They'll get you off the field, but they're not going
to. What are they going to do if Jameis throws it right to somebody? Are they just going to drop it? Are they
going to spike
it
like a volleyball? Yeah. Now, the Panthers do like playing against Jameis Winston. I will say that. I think a lot of teams do. So, you know, Jameis is prone to throw it to the other team. It's kind of his thing.
Yes, he is.
So it could be a back and forth with that. But
I think Jameis had two completions on Sunday. One of them was a good completion, and the second one was the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. That was going to a defender to be intercepted, and another
a 30-yard dart.
Oh my god.
And he tipped it. Another defender tipped it to Chris Olave, who was wide open.
It was going straight to a defender to intercept it. Another defender comes over and taps it up in the air over the first defender's head, and Chris Olave catches it for a 30-yard catch. Oh. It wasn't anywhere close to Chris Olave.
not even close.
But Jameis, yeah. It's not the first time that Jameis has said, just put it in God's hands.
I will say, from watching from afar, the Saints, I've been kind of waiting on this year to happen to y'all for like 5 years. It feels like y'all have kicked the can down the road every year. Like every year I would look at you guys and I'm like, how are they paying these players? Like, what are they doing? Because they keep literally extending guys and just moving debt down the road. And shout out to Mickey Loomis, who I don't know how he's doing this, but I feel like I was like, eventually it's going to catch up to you. I feel like it's starting to catch up to you now as players are getting older.
Well, there's kind of three reasons it's kind of catching up, or it's about to. Two, like you said, DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan are getting older. DeMario Davis is still playing at a high level, and even 2 weeks ago, he was the number one rated PFF linebacker in football. But watching him, you can see that he's losing some of that. Still very good, losing a step. Cam Jordan has basically disappeared this year, and the age has finally hit him. So that's a little bit there. Where our big screw job came this year is that we have a $30 million contract for Derek Carr has to be restructured for us to even sign a team. And if he's bad, we're screwed. And he's bad.
Yeah.
Even with the DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan thing, if Derek Carr was a top 12 quarterback like we expected, it was all okay. We could just we had plenty of being able to kick it down the road and everything's fine. And but now you're having to honestly, we're gonna probably have to draft or bring in another quarterback. And Derek Carr is going to be the starter because he's making $30 million a year. And you're going to pay him a lot of money to not lead the team to victories.
I never understood bringing him in to New Orleans. Because he really only had a couple of good seasons and never really consecutively in Oakland, now Las Vegas. And wasn't he the coach of the Raiders at one point?
He was.
Yeah.
But didn't he have like a losing record with them or something?
Oh, yeah, he's one of the worst coaches.
His record all time is like bottom 10.
Ten and 45 or something like that.
How's he still employed? Like, I come from a world where owners fire coaches like immediately. Like,
Jason, do you want to take this part of the show?
Right. So when we hired, I thought it was a bad idea when we hired him. I just looked at his record, but everyone's like, oh, it's okay. It was just Oakland. Like, because he's such a good defensive coordinator, and he was, but they just wanted to keep whatever we had going without Sean and Drew, and I just didn't think it was going to work. I also looked, it was Oakland, and Oakland's a bad organization, but that's still his record. Like, it just screams, like, if you want to keep this going, don't just hire this guy who was terrible and got fired. It almost seemed like the interview process was a sham. Like, they knew they were going to keep Allen, and they brought in all these other guys, and now they're kind of paying for it, but Loomis doesn't have any pressure being fired. He's in the inner circle with Gale. And, I've been down on the organization as a whole for a good year or two, and it's all finally bubbling up. And now all the fans are starting to see it.
He's getting fired now, Desmond. Yeah.
Loomis is?
No, definitely not. 100% no. Allen and Pete Carmichael.
I got you.
We're going to be competing with y'all for problem. Ben Johnson.
I don't think, and Ben Johnson's from North Carolina, and I don't think we're going to get him. I've been in the camp for Jim Harbaugh since last year. I wanted him above Steve Wilkes. Like, I wanted Harbaugh. That's who I wanted. I was like, he's the one guy. He actually played for Carolina toward the tail end of his career, and he's the one guy where I feel like, okay, I'm looking for an identity setter. I want someone that matches the identity of what I've grown up knowing the Carolina Panthers to be, smash mouth defense, run the football, huge offensive line, huge defensive lines.
Asshole. Like,
yeah. That's what I want. Yeah. I don't want Frank Wright all nice. We'll got to look at the film, blah, 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 blah. I want somebody up there that's going to represent my team. Steve Wilkes kind of had a little of that in him. Jim Harbaugh is that. And I feel like, besides the fact that college football feels like they're trying to push him out, the NCAA feels like they're trying to push this dude out of there anyway.
I think he's leaving.
I think he's leaving, sure. too. If they win the national championship, he's going to rot off. He's going to be considered a god at Michigan. He's going to come back to the NFL. And I think it's either going to be the Panthers or the Bears. And honestly, I think the Panthers would have the lead in that clubhouse because the GM for the Bears has actually done a pretty good job. Well, he's been fleecing us. So that's probably saved his job. So they're probably not looking to fire the GM for the Bears. And Harbaugh probably don't want to come in where he's got to deal with a GM. Where over here, yes, Scott Fitter is still here as GM. He may not be after Black Monday. And even if he is, you can kind of strip his responsibilities down and let Harbaugh build the roster the way he wants to. He'd come in with a top 10 defense, pieces on offense, and a former Heisman winning quarterback. Like, he would have some pieces there. It would take him some time, but at least he would know what he wants to get it done and get it fixed in a division where, honestly, gentlemen, if you guys had your quarterback fixed out, I mean, can you imagine being...
It wasn't that long ago. This was the most competitive division in football because they were all good.
Yeah.
Real quickly, it's the most competitive right now because you win 8 games and you win the division.
You're in there. You're going to host a playoff game. This is so horrible. Like,
right
in that stretch,
somebody is getting murdered by the Cowboys or Eagles in their home stadium in the playoff. Like, you are hosting one of those teams. Yeah, they are going to annihilate somebody in our division.
And none of these teams are even on the same level as the 49ers. Like, they're just, and I feel like we helped that. We helped the 49ers get to this level where they are by giving them Christian McCaffrey. Like, they're not like this without him. Like,
giving Kyle Shanahan that type of player was crazy.
Yeah, it's like, Merry Christmas. Here's the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier thing or whatever. Like, they even want it for years. Here you go. And that's pretty much what we did. We gave them Christian McCaffrey. Now they're the best team in the NFC and he's an MVP candidate. Go figure. So it is what it is.
Well, Desmond, we do want to get a score prediction from you. There's only two more times I get to predict the Saints to win a game this year, probably, but we do want to get a score prediction from you and what you think this is going to look like.
I mean, my heart wants me to be like, yo, pick them to win. Pick them to win this game. They can do this. My head is like, remember the previous 12 games. Like, what's happened in those games? They've all been the same. They've all been identical.
Beat a team that we lost to.
Houston?
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened that day. Like, honestly, like, I think the defense came out super hyped because they wanted to kind of show that their quarterback was better than C.J. Stroud. And I think that's really what kind of fueled that day, that they just didn't want C.J. Stroud to show up.
We don't know what happened either, because we smoked the Patriots 34-0. And then we all went to the game because we were excited to watch the game in Houston. And then we don't show up for the game.
Yeah. And pitch. I don't even want to talk about the Patriots are like,
yeah.
Done so. I would say it's a division game, so it's probably going to be tight, just like last Sunday. Probably about the same thing. I'm going to say 21-18 Saints, which was the exact score of Panthers-Bucks, and you guys will cross 18 points first. Like, once you get past that point, Carolina cannot score. Like, they can't score more than 18 points. And matter of fact, they hadn't scored more than, I think, 10 in, like, the past 4 or 5 weeks. So, like, they just can't score. Like, that's the main problem. They cannot score. So if you guys can get the 17 points,
we might be able to fix that for y'all.
Yeah.
Hey, give the defense a couple of turnovers,
looking at y'all's last few games, y'all scored 15, 13, 13, 10, 10, and 18.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the rock fight of 17-13 Saints. It's going to be ugly.
Yep. That's a couple field goals. Bryce will give you one drive. He'll give you one drive and a touchdown, and you'll be like, oh, hey, look at that. Hey, Panthers, hey. But no, it's not going to happen more than once or twice. So you guys.
27-16 Saints.
Yeah, I think, and this is just my personal thing, is I'm here for the drama. I want Jameis Winston to have an incredible game, just so we can hear the crowd in boo louder than ever when Carr plays against the Giants. This is less that I think this is going to happen and more like just inject it in my veins so we can deal with it. So I'm going to say 35-18 Saints. Jameis is going to throw all five throwing touchdowns for Jameis. I don't believe any of this, Desmond.
Okay. I'm like, wow.
I don't believe any of this. I'm here for the drama. I want Jameis to have just the best game of his career and we'll turn around and get craziness against the Giants.
I'm like, man, is it 2014? Is this Florida State, Jameis Winston?
None of that's happening. But I believe in your 18 points. So I'll agree with you and say that the Carolina is going to score 18.
I hope. I mean, and that's sad. We get the 18, gentlemen. It's a good day. Like, regardless of outcome, like we were just talking about, is this the worst season in franchise history? And I don't expect them to win another game that they have on their schedule.
Yep.
Even with Trevor Lawrence going down, because they have Jacksonville in a week or two, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, y'all are going to get a really high second round draft pick, though.
in a draft that has a bunch of wide receivers in it. So that's our
I think Brian Thomas goes in the first round, but y'all just can't draft any LSU players, please.
They need Marvin Harrison Jr. Like they need that. They need to figure out a way to.
Hey, trade, you know what y'all should do? You should trade your next year's first round draft pick with your second, so you can move up and get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Please don't put that in existence.
Stop. I'm gonna go put it on Twitter right now.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Gets that idea. Like, they'll call him back up. Like, hey. You know that pick we gave you last year? Why don't you give it back to us? We'll give you another first and a second. And we'll throw in Brian Burns, too.
Jason and I would be really happy with y'all trading your second and your next year's first for our this year's first. We can be a number eight overall to move up and get Marvin Harrison, because we want to kick this down the road. We want draft picks later more than we want them now.
We need them now. I'll
approve that trade right now. Desmond, thank you for coming on. I know we said it earlier, but tell people how they can find you, and we'll tag you in the tweet when this goes out too.
Yeah, so you can find me on, I'm never going to call it X. It's Twitter until somebody else comes along and buys it and changes it back.
Is it David Tepper? Well, David Tepper.
It'll be David Tepper. He'll come in and buy Twitter.
And then he'll delete it.
And then he'll do like,
and then he'll just shut it all down.
Because somebody tweeted something about him. DEZ_3505. You can find me on Twitter. We actually, Believe in Panthers actually has social media handles now from the last time I was with you guys. So you can look up Believe in Panthers on Twitter, Believe in Carolina Panthers on Instagram, and the Keep Pounding Podcast Network on Facebook. And you can find all this stuff in video format there. And when we do them, we just finished doing our live one right before I hopped on with you guys. When we do them, we do it where it's open mailbag, so people that are watching can actually comment and give takes and stuff while we're actually on. So it's kind of therapeutic for Panther fans, like, to get on and kind of express why they're mad for whatever happened the week before. So definitely come and check us out. We'll still be on throughout the season. The episode we just did, most of it was about the college football playoff. So
y'all need to start focusing on who you're getting in the second and third round, right?
Yeah. We're not there yet. We haven't got that far, not deep into it, but we are that part of the season where we're like, okay, what else can we talk about besides the Carolina Panthers this week and fill in some of the space? So we keep it entertaining, and the Panther fans, it's not like we haven't gone through this before. So
no matter how bad that record gets, Desmond, y'all keep pounding.
That's the motto. We'll see. In fact, if they do.
All right. We'll see you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Cheers, Desmond. Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
The Dome Patrol Podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.